We greet you tonight in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who says, I am the light of the world. Praise the Lord. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we're grateful and thankful unto him this evening for this gathering here, for all you precious young people that are gathered here. And while some of you may have different motives for being here, I'm sure that you're here because you want to learn more about your God, your Creator, and your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bless you for that this evening. And I wish you God's continued blessing on your life as you study here and learn this week more about your Master and more how to become like Him more and more as you grow into your Christian experience and into the remaining days of your life. You have much going for you. You have a God in heaven who loves every one of you. He has created you, and He has a divine purpose for your life. You're not just here to be take up time and space and to be spun into existence, as it were. But God has a very definite purpose for you and your life. And He knew many, should I say, centuries ago that you would be here tonight. Our God is an all-wise God, and we love Him and praise Him. Tonight I'm 66 years old, and I've been converted since I've been 17. I'm going to tell you, dear young people, something I don't regret one day of it. The only regret I have is that I didn't give my life to Him sooner. You will never regret the time you spend in God's kingdom serving Him. And my encouragement to you this evening as we go through this message would be to give Him your all. Let Him become the Lord of your life. Not only now and while you're here at this week of Bible school, but the rest of your life. I have a verse that you're all very familiar with that I'd like to start with tonight, and it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And our first word in the text tonight is remember. And when you become 66 years old, you'll find out that remembering is not the same as when you're 16, 17, 18, 20, 22. I'm not sure what your age is range from here this evening, but God has given us a mind, a brain, and that mind has tremendous capabilities. And God wants you to understand that it's very important for you to remember Him when you're young. And the second word is now. Remember Him now, not in the future, but now. In this present time of your life, it's important that you remember God, your Creator. Now, the word remember means to keep in mind. And we do that with our mind. The mind is that which processes our thoughts. And the mind is a tremendous faculty of the human body that God gave to each of you. And He wants you to use that mind to remember Him. One of the two greatest commandments Jesus gives in the New Testament is, you should love the Lord your God. And one of the four things He says there is your mind. So that your thought patterns would be to love Him. Your thinking capacities. That which processes your thought patterns would be to love God. And to do that, you must remember Him. And He doesn't say here, remember God. He says, remember thy or your Creator. God created each one of you miraculously. He created you. And He knew before the foundation of the world that you would be in existence today. And for each of you that have claimed Christ as your Savior and have surrendered your heart to Him, and He become the Redeemer of your life, He knew that would happen before the foundation of the world, the apostles tell us. And here you sit tonight, and this simple mandate is, remember now thy, or your, Creator. And it's very important that you fill your mind with Him while you are young. It says, in the days of thy youth. And I suppose that would encapsulate each of you here tonight that are young people. You're in the days of your youth. And the days of youth are a tremendous blessing to your life. You were a baby, then you were a little child, and then you grew into adolescent, and then into adults. That is the process of growing up. And He uses the phrase youth here. And that's why we chose this subject this evening, because that's who most of you are. Many of us are still young in heart yet, too, even though many years have slipped by since we were sitting in your seat. Remember today, while you're in your youth, Him that created you. God is an all-wise Creator. And He created you. And you are to remember and recognize Him in your existence and your being here tonight. While you are young. Because youth will pass away. And you will grow into become an adult, and many of you are that already. And probably some of you think you're more that than maybe you are. But if you would go back to chapter 11, and I trust you have your Bibles open, youth is mentioned there as well. Verse 10, the last verse, in fact, the last statement before this statement in chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes, it said, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, does that mean they aren't important? No. The word vanity there means transitory. It's a stage of your life that you pass through. And then you become an adult. And that's what we want to focus on here this evening. But there's something about this youth stage that is of utmost importance to you, because it's a blessed time of pristine innocency, what I want to call it. Before you reach that childhood stage there, it's transitory. But even though we're born with a sinful nature from our parents, that child that's born of a sinful nature, that has godly parents, that prays for that child, that trains that child, that disciplines that child, so that whenever it does wrong, even though it don't understand all the morals of right and wrong, yet its father and mother is there to give discipline to that child so that its conscience can remain pure and innocent before God while it's growing up. A properly disciplined child is a very innocent, blessed, pristine beauty of God's creation in a child and as they grow into youth. Proverbs 20:11 said, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. You can tell a little child when it is pure, when it is right, and when it is disciplined. That takes care of its guilt until it reaches that age that we call the age of accountability. But you, dear young people, are past that age. But until that time, that child is pure and free and innocent before God. And children that are like that will naturally sing. They will be a singing child. They will not have the conflict of guilt that they don't. Children that are not disciplined live in guilt. And if that guilt is not taken care of, they will continue to to develop a hardened conscience. And it won't turn out right until they would become converted or God would intervene in another way. But these precious children in that stage there, created by God, are very precious. And the older I get, the more I am amazed and blessed at how little children are formed in their mother's womb, and they are born and they grow. And it's just such a blessing to take one of them newborn babies and hold it and bless it and ask God's blessing to be upon that little child's life as it grows up. That is something that there's no substitute for in this world, is to hold a newborn baby that God has created and made and blessed those parents with. And hold it up before God and say, here's this little child, like Simeon and Anna did there in the temple when they brought the baby Jesus in. Christ stopped his busy schedule while on earth to take time for these little children. He wanted them children to remember him and to remember their Creator. And the disciples even rebuked the children and wanted them to step aside and take them out of here. And Christ rebuked them and says, no. Suffer, little children, to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. It says it displeased him that his disciples would have dealt that way. So young people tonight, you are in the days between childhood, and maybe I should say, not say adulthood, but yet, depends what stage of adulthood you would want to classify yourself at. And I know some of you are much older than others here tonight, but it's very important that you remember your Creator now, while you are young, in this period of adolescenthood, coming into manhood and womanhood. And to remember your Creator is to be connected to Him. We want to think about that thought for a while this evening. Being connected to God. Because He made me, and until I know Him, I'm going to live a life that is disconnected from Him and His ways. But when we become acquainted with our God, and we come to know our God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we become connected to our Creator. And we want to think about that tonight, being connected to God. We want each of you to ask yourself the question, well, am I connected to God? There's probably not a more important time in your life to be connected to God than now. As you think about that, it's very, very important. Because you've reached that age of accountability, where you become aware that you are responsible before God, and that my parents no longer can discipline me. In some areas, maybe yes, but for the most part, I must live with my conscience. They trained me right. And some of you might have not have had right training, and that's fine. God loves you just the same, and you're here tonight, and you're in the right place. It's not so important where you come from as much as important where are you going and what direction are you traveling tonight. So as you think about the direction of your life and the eternal values of life, as you face life coming on in your youthful days, and some of you are up there in years more so than others, it's a time when your belief system is developed. And that's extremely important. That character-forming foundation, I would like to say, that will build your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Foundations are very important. And this is a time for foundation building. And that's why you're here at this Bible school this week. And that is the intent of the directors of this Bible school and the teachers of this Bible school, to influence your lives so that you would have a good, solid foundation in remembering your Creator for the rest of your life. Because it says there, before the evil days come. Now, those evil days there are similar to that word vanity. It doesn't necessarily mean bad days, but it means undesirable days. Days where you have no pleasure in them like you do now. There's something about the vitality of youth when you can breathe fresh air and live for God that is unparalleled to any other time in your life. And God designed it that way. And that's why this verse is telling you tonight, you need to remember your Creator now in the days of your youth. Because if you ignore Him, if you brush Him aside in His Word and His ways and His truth, it's going to be detrimental to the foundation of the rest of your life. And that's very important for you this evening. And as you come into that time, you need to dig deep. Jesus says, the house that did not fall was built upon a rock. And He gives two examples there. One of a man who heard the Word of God. They both heard the Word of God, but the one did it and the other did not. It's important for you to be at this Bible school to receive the teaching and to hear this message tonight. But what you do with it is what's going to determine how deep you dig for your foundation. And it says he dig deep, the man whose house did not fall in the storm, and he laid the foundation on a rock. Now notice carefully with me that the rock was not the foundation. But the foundation was laid on the rock. The rock is God's Word. Jesus says, he that heareth my word and keepeth it. The rock is Christ. The foundation is your faith in Christ. As you embrace the teachings of Scripture, you dig deep into that Scripture until you hit solid rock that will not move. And there you lay the foundation, and then you build the rest of your life upon that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless every one of you with a deep desire to dig deep until you are on that rock. For if you don't, you will not be able to stand the temptations of life as they will come. If we are not on the rock, be you young or old, whoever you may be, where you're from or where you're going, if we are not on the rock, Christ Jesus, and on His precious, eternal, infallible Word, we're not going to be able to withstand the temptations of our enemy. You have a blessed Creator, God, but you also have an adversary. And I see that in your brochure that you've been taught about the devices of Satan. And Apostle Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices, lest Satan would get an advantage of us. So as you develop these convictions in your heart, as you dig deep, as you remember your Creator, then comes the choices in life that you need to make. And that's going to determine much how your life turns out, based on the choices you make. And the choices you make is why your parents teach you right. Your parents cannot save you, and they can't make them choices for you as you grow up to be an adult. But their influence, their teaching has influenced you to make right choices in life, if they were godly parents. If you did not have godly parents, whoever that godly example is, whether it be your associates at your congregation, for many people it's been a grandmother. For some people it was that way for Timothy. He did not have a godly father either. Maybe some of you are here tonight without a godly father, like Timothy. And Paul tells you, like he told Timothy, don't you let no one despise your youth because of that. That word despise there means to intimidate or to make you feel inferior, that you just aren't quite going to make the grade. Don't let no man do that to you. But you stand on God's word like Timothy did. And if you have to shed tears like Timothy, that's fine. That was one of Paul's prayers as he remembered his son Timothy when he sat in a Roman prison. He says, I remember your tears and the unfailing faith that is in thee, and what dwelt first in thy mother and thy grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Now let's just consider again what it is to remember our Creator as we think here this evening. To remember your Creator is to have a right relationship with Him. That's very very important. It's to please God in all my thought life. Your mind can be a tricky thing. You can be praying in the Holy Ghost, as Jude says. You can be in an atmosphere of godly people. You can be in an inspiring service, and all of a sudden, the enemy can inject a wrong thought, can he not? And right there, you have a choice to make. You can be treated ill, and right there, you have a choice to make. And we need to remember God, and we need to remember Him as a young person, and we need to take knowledge of Him, and consider Him wisely, and deeply, and thoroughly, and first, and foremost. I would like to say to remember God is to fear God, and to keep His commandments. There's a good verse for all of us, but it's especially pertinent to you young people, Proverbs 23:17, I think it is. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord. Who can finish it for me? Thank you. All the day long. Now, when you're in the fear of the Lord all the day long, that's going to keep you from a lot of abstracting thoughts and temptations that otherwise would lead you astray. To remember your Creator is to walk with God. I was over here in a restroom a while ago, and I met a little fellow, and I asked him what his name was, and he says, it's Enoch. I said, well, bless your heart, Enoch walked with God. Learn to walk with your Creator. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He became a was not. He didn't amount to much on this earth, but he became a was not because he walked with God. God took him home one day to be with Him. It's to walk with God, to walk in all His ways, to walk with His people, to walk by His Word, through the Spirit, to His glory and to His honor, and for your good and your salvation and the good and the salvation of those around you. That's remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. To remember your Creator is to study the life of Jesus Christ and look well to His purposes and intents as He related to others while here on earth. Now, to remember your Creator, probably most importantly, is to have a sound conversion. But sometimes us preachers can be guilty of making especially young people who struggle with the assurance of salvation doubt their conversion. And the opposite can be just as true. We can maybe just smooth everybody over and make them feel too comfortable in maybe ways that they shouldn't be uncomfortable in. And it is not my intent to make anyone feel or doubt or question your conversion experience. But on the other hand, it is very important to know that your sins are washed away, that you have had passed from death unto life, that you know maybe you can't say the very hour on December 13th in 1992 or whenever it might have been at 3 o'clock in the evening or at an altar service somewhere. Maybe you cannot point to an exact time like that when you know you passed from death unto life. But the important thing is to know that there was an exact time that you did pass from death unto life, and that you did receive spiritual life, and that you know your sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have the gift of eternal life. And maybe you compare your experience with other people's experiences, and you feel, well, maybe theirs was just a whole lot more vibrant than mine. Maybe theirs just impressed people more than mine did. And you know how the devil is. He'll say, just look at your life. You never really were converted, were you? You know, when he tempted our Lord, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, he tells us, if you are a Christian, and you need to remember he's a liar, and you need to point him right to the cross of Calvary, into the blood of Jesus Christ, and say, look, I confess my sins, and the Bible says if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take the devil to Scripture. That's what Jesus did. He told the devil, it is written, it is written. And that's what the psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And when do we sin? When we're tempted of the devil. And when you're tempted, dear youth, to remember your Creator is to take God's word and use it against that old wicked one, the devil. He fears at the word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's God's authority against him. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the power of God against the devil. Plead the blood and use the Word of God, and you will go forth victorious over that old character. But to remember your Creator is to have a sound conversion. It's to have true repentance, the new birth experience, sanctification, justification, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God, and His Word. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippian jailer, thou shalt be saved. Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And he says, I am. I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he baptized him. Sure salvation. But we can be saved in the past, and then we can drift away from God if we neglect our Creator. And I want to caution you on that this evening. You need to be born, just like a baby is, but you need to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to become more like Jesus. And as you sit here this evening, as you ask yourself the question, since your day of salvation, has that been 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or more? And as you reflect upon your life as it relates to the Word of God, how does it line up? And I ask myself that same question, even though I'm 66 years old, and it's been over 48 years since I've been converted. I have to keep working on believing the Lord Jesus Christ, not working my way to heaven, but I have to keep applying, I should say, truth to my life. And you need to do the same thing. And that is remembering your Creator. That you need to be connected to God. There needs to be a living connection to your Creator. There needs to be an ongoing relationship with Christ. You need to be conformed into the image of His Son. Jesus says in St. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and His Son whom thou hast sent. That, my brothers and sisters and young people, is life eternal. You have the assurance of salvation in your heart. You have the peace of God in your heart when you know Him. And it's important tonight that you know God. That's being connected to God. That's remembering your Creator. Not knowing about Him. Not just hearing His Word, but doing His Word. Jesus says, that's the man that builds his house on the sure foundation. And when the storms of life hit that thing, it stood firm. It did not shake. That old hymn writer says, that soul who on Jesus has leaned for repose, I never will never desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's your faith in Christ. Stick to it, young people. Now, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's why you're here at these meetings, that your life might be more discipled into the image of Jesus Christ. That through the teaching and the input of truth from God's Word into your heart, it makes you more like God. And it brings you into a better relationship with God. God's Word is filled with many scripture verses about the presence and the work of the Holy Ghost in the believer's life. And maybe we're too afraid of the charismatics and these people that go way off in the left wing and say, the Spirit told me to do this and the Spirit told me to do that. And we shy away from them, and maybe we go too far to the other side of the room, away from the power of the Holy Spirit. But God's Word is filled with teachings about being filled with the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost works in our hearts and how he is a revelator of the Word of God, and He is a manifestation of Christ. Don't live in us literally, but He does live in us through the Holy Spirit, and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the living God through the Holy Spirit living in you. And that's why Jude says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, he was actually full of the Holy Ghost, and he did get a little charismatic in his mother's womb. He started to jump and leap in his mother's womb because he was full of the Holy Ghost. I remember the old-timers preaching, they don't care how high you jump, just so when you come down, you walk straight. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you and make you do things that won't be according to the Word of God. And if it does, it's not the Holy Spirit that God gives, because the Spirit and the Word are one, and they agree in one. And I just want to say this tonight about knowing your Creator. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. What does Jesus say there in Luke chapter 18 on the subject of prayer? He first starts out saying about a man that had a visitor at midnight, did he not? And he didn't have no food for this visitor. So he went to his neighbors and said, I have somebody that's here and I don't have nothing. Could you give me some loaves of bread? And the man says, don't bother me. My children are with me and we're in bed. Go away. Did he go away? No. Jesus is teaching us in prayer. And then he says, he just stayed there. And he wouldn't leave. In other words, he wouldn't take no for an answer. And finally the man got up and gave him his bread and he went home and gave it to his folks. And Jesus says, why did he give it to him? Because he was his friend? No. But because of his importunity. Now, we don't use that word much in American English, but the word importunity means shameless persistence. He persisted in prayer. And I believe that's why a lot of people do not have effectual prayer life. Then he says, after that, he gives the example about asking, seeking, and knocking. And he says, to him that asketh, it shall be given. To him that seeketh, he shall find. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. And he says, if you have a son, you don't give him a scorpion if he asks for an egg. You don't give him a stone if he asks for a bread. You know better than that. And then he says this, and this is the verse I want you to get tonight. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Dear young people, learn every morning to pray and ask God for the Holy Ghost in your life today. The Bible says in Acts 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts 4, the same people was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Acts 2 was filled with the Holy Ghost again when they prayed and the place was shaken. Maybe your place won't shake, but maybe you ought to shake. Some people are shaken about what they believe, but not many people are shaken by what they believe. In Ephesians chapter 6, 18 says, be not drunk with wine, or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command of Scripture for each one of you. Now, this being connected to God, this being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, goes on. Jesus teaches us that except a man take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. He didn't say, well, if you don't bear your cross, you can be a disciple, you just won't be a real good one. You can be a nominal church member. You can even be baptized. You can even go to Bible school. He says, if you don't take your cross up, you cannot be my disciple. That's the long and short of it. That's the words of Jesus. And that's true for me, and that's true for each of you. So in connection with God, to remembering Him as our Creator, it's about discipleship. It's about cross-bearing discipleship. What does taking up the cross mean? Well, he says, except a man deny himself and take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. So cross-bearing starts by self-denial. And we don't like to do that. We think pretty much of self. We want to do what self wants to do. But Jesus says you must deny him or disown him. That's what it means, to disown myself and own him. It means to lose my identity and take on the identity of Jesus Christ. What does that look like in everyday life? Well, it looks different for some people than others. I would say that. I would like to say this to you tonight. It means you take on, you give up your claims and you take on the claims of Christ. And that affects your choices in life, and it affects how you relate, not only to God, your Savior, but to others. And I just want to encourage you that it is a blessing. I think there's a lot of people that are claimers of Christianity that know little or nothing about cross-bearing discipleship. But that's why you're here this evening. And I know this might seem rather simple and elementary, but it's profound. It is essential for you to remember your Creator and to lay a good foundation. I'd like to just help you to remember that. To take up my cross is when God's will crosses my will. Self must die. The cross only ever means one thing, crucifixion. Self must die. Selfie must die. Let's look at a young man in Scripture who met the cross of Jesus Christ, and he was not able to bear it. But he was eager to know what this was all about. The Bible says he ran to Jesus. And when he got to Christ, I don't know if Christ was there by the way and he saw him up the road there, or maybe he was sitting on his porch just waiting. Maybe he saw the crowd and the disciples coming down the road, and he couldn't wait. He was a little like Zacchaeus. He ran too and got up in a tree. He wanted to see this Lord. Salvation came to his house. But this young man was called a ruler. He was also called a young man, and he was also a rich man. That's the three descriptions we learn about this young man. He wasn't just an old nobody. He was a ruler. We call him the rich young ruler. And every one of them are biblical words to describe who this young man was. Now, maybe you don't ascribe to any of those words this evening, but maybe the one young. But he had a desire for eternal life. What a noble desire. He asked Christ the most important question you can ask him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Would to God people would ask me that. When's the last someone asked you that? Or like the man in the prison, when the doors were open, he said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Or like the men that interrupted Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? This young man came running to Christ, the Savior of the world. He was an upright young man. He was a young man who was probably churched all his life. And first of all, Christ had to get him over that thing there about calling him master and calling him good. And after that, he says, well, what must I do to eternal life? And Christ gave him an answer I don't think he was expecting. He says, well, what says the law? How readest thou? No, Christ said, keep the commandments. And maybe different gospels have it different. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. He said, which? Which one should I keep? I want eternal life. Something's wrong inside here. And Jesus named a few of them. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, Lord, I need all of them. What lack I yet? There's still something wrong inside here. What do you think was wrong with him? Do you think, let's just stop and give some thought to this young man. Do you think maybe, I mean, no one could point a finger at him and say, look at that fella. He's probably the kind of young man that parents would say to their son, you see, let's call him Mark. You see Mark?
Look at him, how God has blessed him. I mean, he's rich. And probably a lot of Jewish men that had daughters would have liked if that'd be the kind of young man they'd choose, or he'd choose their daughter. And maybe he was an example to the other young people. He was in the church. He said, I kept all these from a little one up. My parents taught me right from wrong. I have a good conscience. But there's something wrong inside here. Anything wrong in your heart tonight? Even though you are at Bible school? And there again, I don't want you to think something's wrong when it isn't. But on the other hand, neither I don't want you to cover something up when something isn't wrong. And maybe that was his problem. Maybe he had some secret sins, some hidden sins that mom and pop and no one else knew about. Maybe he was looking at some sights he shouldn't have been looking at, and no one knew it. Think maybe that was his problem? Or maybe, just maybe he had some wrong attitudes towards some people. And while all business life and church life was going fine, he read his Bible. He got down and had his little prayers every morning. Something was really desperately lacking on the inside. Maybe he had some unforgiveness towards some people. Some resentment, some bitterness. Maybe he couldn't forgive someone. Maybe he had a brother that did him wrong and he couldn't forgive him. Maybe he had someone abuse him, hurt him, offended him. He was grappling with these feelings. And while his external was fine, the inside was just not coming out right. And he said, that man's going to tell me. He's the Son of God. He'll tell me what I need. And Jesus says, you go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. Come, he says, take up your cross and follow me, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Boom, his head went down. And it says that our Lord stood there looking at the young man, and it says he loved him. I believe Christ saw potential in that young man. And I want you to know he sees it in you tonight. There's one thing that can separate you from your Creator, and that is if you're not willing to take up your cross. And it may not be selling what you have and giving it to the poor like his was, but he crossed that young man's will, and it says he went away sad. He would not pay the price. No, he would not. Young people tonight. Now, some Bible scholars feel that he was Nicodemus and he dealt right and he came and he laid his money at the apostles' feet there in Acts, having land, sold it. I hope it was. I hope his conscience didn't give him rest from that day on. I mean, he was face to face with the Son of God, face to face with the divinity of God, with the Word that was made flesh. The Savior of the world. There's a better opportunity in the world than to be face to face and say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But the cross was too heavy for him to bear. And tonight, I want you to be encouraged. Whatever it is, if there's something in your life that's keeping you from knowing God, he went away from the Savior, sad, gloomy, went bound to his house, socked himself down on the couch. And there his conscience worked. And I don't believe he ever forgot those words. Sell what thou hast. Sell what thou hast. Sell what thou hast. Can you imagine him trying to sleep that night? Not all my stuff. Never, Lord. Certainly that's not your demand on my life. Why did Christ ask him to do that? Because it was the darling of his heart. And Christ knew it. And you and I talk to people, we don't always see down into them like Christ could. But Christ saw what he clung to. Some people, when they come to Christ, they'd open every closet and every room of the doors in their house to God and say, "Here I am," all except one thing. The darling sin of their heart, they hang on to that. And they'll say, "I'll let you in everywhere but that one place, Lord. But I want you to know that he's not Lord of all. He's not Lord at all in your life." Now, I'd like to leave you with a practical way to honor your Creator tonight before we close this message. All right? A practical way. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just look at that there. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You say, "Well, we're not children." All right, I understand that. Let's go to verse 2. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long in the earth." And I'd like to just look at that creative principle tonight. You see, God created you, and you are a creation of him, and you are a double creation of him. If you're saved and born again, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We have passed from death unto life. Behold, all things became new. If we are saved, which I would trust most of you are. But there's something about honoring your father, young people, and your mother that I want to just share with you here this evening before we close. That will help you to understand how to remember your Creator. Remember your Creator by remembering your earthly father and mother who co-created you with God, your Creator. That's beautiful how God takes a man and a woman, and together with God, a baby is conceived and develops and is born. They are co-creators with God in that process. And you are that product this evening. And there's something about your earthly father and mother that connects you to God, your Creator. And I just like to admonish you, before we dismiss here tonight, to honor your father and your mother. Now, as you sit there, I want you to think about them. And as you think about them, their faces come into view. Your mind is capable of doing that. Pictures of your parents come before you. Think about them. It's the first commandment with promise. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. It's going to be well with you, it says, and you're going to live long in the earth. There is four blessings in honoring your father and your mother that nothing else can take the substitute of doing. It's very important to you. And you might be saying to me, "Well, preacher, you don't know my dad and mom." That's right, I don't. But God does. "And you don't know my father and the pain that he's caused my mama," or vice versa. "And you don't understand, preacher." I don't. I understand that. But I just want you to know you are still to honor them because they are created by God as well. You see, the Bible says we're to honor all men, 1 Peter 2:17. Why are we to do that? Do they deserve it? No, not all men deserve our honor. Well then, you see, we like to be like that rich young ruler. We like a precise pattern that he thought Jesus was going to tell him something that would just help him, that if he just did that one little thing maybe yet, then he'd have a good life in addition to all the other good things he was doing. And we are all like that. You ever saw your own heart? That's what it looks like. But all men were created by God. And it is our responsibility
to give due recognition to them as the creation of God. Now, it doesn't mean you agree with everything they do. It doesn't mean you go with them. But that's why we do not take life. Life is sacred. It, human life has a living soul. God breathed into Adam and Eve, and they became a living soul. So that's why we are to honor all men. Peter furthermore says in that same verse, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, did not King Herod take James and kill him with a sword? Yes. And when he saw it please the Jews, he took Peter and ran to him and put him in the prison. And he was going to ask priests to bring him out, and he was going to kill him with a sword. But God, because the people were praying, delivered him. And now Peter writes, honor the king, the one who killed my brother James and was going to kill me. Did they deserve that honor? No. But when God places you in being an authority, it is your responsibility to honor them. And God gave you parents. And them parents might not be what you wish they would be. But I just want to encourage you to honor them nonetheless. Because they are your father and your mother. And there's a connection here with your Creator in connection with your father and your mother. And God designed it to be that way. And I want to say this to you tonight. You have not entered adulthood until you understand what it is to honor the fatherhood of your father and the motherhood of your mother. You are still in adolescence. You're not an adult yet. You might think you are. Your age might say you are. But until you understand this simple principle of honoring daddy and mom the way God wants me to, I have not grown into adulthood yet. I'm still an adolescent. There's something about fatherhood and motherhood that God designed as our parents that when we honor and respect and revere, that blesses the Lord, it pleases Him, it blesses them, it blesses you. The whole relationship is the better. So if you're sitting here tonight and you have parents that are not what they ought to be, which I'm sure some of you do, I just want you to remember to still honor them. Now, what does it mean to honor? Well, there's a lot of things here. I could spend a lot of time. We'll just sit down over real briefly here. To honor is to esteem and to venerate. We're reminded to esteem each other in the brotherhood. That means lift them up. Lift daddy and mother up. They might not deserve it. They might not have treated you right. You might have feelings in there in your little heart about them, but you honor them anyhow and see what that doesn't do to them. It means to respect them with godly dignity and holy reverence and to hold them high. That's what it means to honor. It means to always talk and speak kindly to them, even though they don't always maybe speak that way to you. It not only means to talk kindly about them, but also, or to them, but also about them. It means to love them and to cherish them. Make them your closest friends. Blessed is the girl that says, mother is my best friend. And blessed is the young man that says, dad is my best friend. I would say that is a relationship that nothing in this world will ever replace. Be cheerful to them. Love them freely. Show words of affirmation that you love them. Tell them you love them. I like to suggest you text them while you're away here at Bible school and tell them you love them. Or send them a little note. If you don't text, that's fine. You can get to heaven without texting. I never knew what texting was about when I was your age. And I was converted just fine. The Lord had no trouble. And I could relate to people just fine. Write them a little note. I got notes right here. You see these notes on my whole Bible here. You see them? From my lovely daughter. I'm going to tell you, you won't know what that means to very fond. It's very bad here on Sunday, and they come to you. And little notes, the little words of affirmation. Think of ways you can express your love for them. I tell you what, it will go a long way in your relationship. And when you truly love them, then obedience to them is willing. Yeah, it's not legal obedience. All right, that's what you want, that's what I'll do. Yes, Dad. Might not be my first preference, but what do you want me to do? Yes. It's so fulfilling. It gives you guidance. It just gives you clearing to know how to remember your Creator in a much better way. And you can relate to Dad and Mom the way you should. To love them is to have grateful appreciation for them. Thankfulness. Little notes that thank them. You say, oh, I just can't say that to that. Well, do it anyhow. You'll be glad you did. Sometimes we get this worldly mentality that the world owes it to me. That's not the self-denying the discipleship way. The world owes it to me, and so does Dad and Mom and everybody else. You ought to be thankful I'm your boy. You ought to be thankful I'm your daughter. Another way you can honor them is communicate with them. Some mothers and fathers are just in love. If the children could just talk to them and share their heart and share their joys and share their sorrows and share their struggles. But they don't. It's a silent thing. What needs you tonight? Not much anymore. But tell them with joy what you did with your friends. Communicate to Dad and Mom. That's a way you can honor them. You can honor them by honoring all the other people in your life, too. It's a blessing if your parents should ask the Bible school here how you were, and they would tell your father and your mother, oh, they were just such a blessing. Respect all authorities in your life. That's such a joy when the Bible school teacher would say, oh, your child is just such a beautiful example of one who wanted to learn of Christ. Brother, I don't know. He went out there and didn't go back. We don't know where he was and where he was going. And, you know, on I can go. Yeah. All the ordained authorities that God has put in your life is for your good. And you can respect your teachers, your bosses, the law, the ministry, whoever it is, wherever it is. It is such a blessing to them. That's another way you can honor them. And then honor them by walking in truth among the clothes and that one. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I want to remind you something. The opposite is just as true. There's nothing more heartbreaking to Dad and Mom than when you don't walk in truth. They'd rather lose money, they'd rather lose health than lose your spiritual self. Young people, you are precious tonight. You're precious to me, you're precious to God, and you're precious to me. I'm going to give you an invitation. If your heart was not right with God, and I'm not saying you're not saved, I want you to get that clear. But if you know there's hidden sin, if you know there's broken relationships, unresolved relationships, you know there's feelings that should not be there, we invite you to come forward. As we sing, I believe it's 371, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And I want him to have his own way in your heart tonight. As we sing this song. Is it 371? Am I correct on that, brother? I thought I was looking at it there. No, it's in the black hymnal. Someone find that number. All right. Someone please read that while we sing this hymn. Just going to run a minute long. We're just going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. You come from here and let the Lord work in your heart. When you come.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yield it and still.
Someone needs to come up with in verse 2. Obey the Lord.
Have thine own way.
I'm going to ask you students who have responded to please go out the doors, the young men to your right here, the young ladies to my left, and there'll be some counselors out there to talk with you. I think it's good if you just share a little bit with why you responded and just share with them. They'll be out there for you. Thank you, Brother David, for sharing. You know, my testimony over my life has been both glorious, or rather a developing glory, and shameful. I have not always been happily married. My life has not always been what you may see today. I have not always walked happily with God. And I'll tell you why. It's what Brother David admonished us to do this evening that I didn't do. I didn't remember. I didn't remember. The devil will use our poor memories very effectively. My testimony, that part of my testimony is rather shameful. But the glorious part of my testimony is that God didn't quit on me. He didn't quit. He kept speaking to me in my heart, though I wasn't sure I heard it as the voice of God, yet I knew in my heart what was right. And I began to respond to that. And young people, it wasn't worth it. I'll tell you. I asked you this morning to do two things. One thing this morning, I asked you to ask God, what will you do in my heart today? And then I asked you to do this evening. What did you do in my heart today? I want you to do that this evening. Now would be fine, but I want you to do it tonight when you go to bed. Before you go to sleep, I want you to get quiet before God and say, God, what did you do in my heart today? And if the answer is nothing, you need to find out why. And one more thing. Brother David encouraged you, a practical way to honor God is to honor your parents. Now let me say to you, I know some of you, and I know in a group this size, I know there's some of you who have a real hard time doing that. I know you do. And for some of you, it's your problem. For some of you, Dad and Mom may have a problem. But that doesn't take away the fact of what God said. Now let me tell you this. I want to tell you this, and I want this to sink into your hearts. The thing God is asking you to do, whether it be to walk with Him every day, or whether it be to honor your parents, it's not always easy. Get that. You may say, oh, I can't do that. Or, I'm telling you, it's a command of God. And I want you to get a hold of this. It's not always easy. The Christian life is not always easy. It's hard sometimes. It's hard. And you have to do as Paul told Timothy. He said, fight the good fight. Lay hold on faith. So young people, it's not always easy. You may say, why do I struggle so much? Why is my life so? Why can't I get a hold of this thing? Why do I keep doing the same old thing and same old thing again? Why? Let me tell you, let me encourage you, get a hold of this fact. It's not always easy.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.